on that in our church, and I got excited about discipleship, and camp revived me. But yet, what happens is we come home from the week, and we go into our old struggles, our old temptations. We're trying to be better. We know we need to be better. But eventually, we just become discouraged because it seems like we can't get better. Am I the only one that I have the desire to be a better person? Matter of fact, in my mind, I have this goal that what I would look like if I could just sprinkle pixie dust on my head and just morph into what I want to be, and I would be a very biblical person. I would love people. I'd read the Bible more. I'd pray more. I would grow taller for the Lord. I would be a giant slayer. I mean, I have in my mind this mark. Here's the problem. I can't get there. It's frustrating. And when I try to be a better person and I can't reach that mark, you know what Satan does? He doesn't say, "Oh man, he's discouraged. Let's give him a break." You know what he does? He says, "You never will make it. You never will please God. You never will make him happy because God is perfect. God is holy. God is just." And that's true. Is it not? That's true. And you'll never match up for what he wants in a child. And I say, you know what? You're right. I am a bad person. I have wicked sins that I struggle with. I guess I'm the only one that struggles with these wicked sins. I have wicked sins that I struggle with and wicked thoughts. And so I can't get there. Satan says, "You're never going to get there. You can't get there." Satan attacks, and you know what? It just drives me into sin more because I think, why am I even trying? Why am I even trying anymore? You know, I'm trying. It doesn't work. God won't help me. I'm obviously a special kind of messed up. And so I might as well just sin. I might as well just go out with the bang. Problem is, as a believer, we sin. We get frustrated in sin. Then we get discouraged and convicted all over again. And then Satan comes back and he says, here's where God wants you. And you'll never get there. You'll never amount to anything. And it just leads us to a place where we're believers. We want to do better. We can't. We become discouraged. We get into sin patterns. We need revived. Why do we get like that? I'm supposed to be a believer. You are too. We shouldn't be struggling like this. We shouldn't even need revivals. We should just have Bibles. No re to it. Now that I know you'll laugh at dad jokes, D.L. Moody's not here. I'm just as disappointed as you are. But if it's any consolation, I am Moody. Okay, I told a guy that joke. He said, "Don't say that." No, I should have listened. What do you do when you want to be a better person? You love God. You want to please him. You just can't seem to get it done. Satan's there. He's attacking you. You know, the Bible addresses it. From a very famous guy in the Bible, his name is Paul. Romans chapter 7. Let's look at this real quick. Romans chapter 7. Paul is going to describe what it's like to want to be a better person, to want to please God and not be able to get it done. And then I think our mindset's wrong is why we need to be revived. And so hopefully this will help you. Okay? So let's just look at it. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. This is Paul talking. You say, "Well, you're talking." Well, I'm reading what Paul said. And Paul's saying what God inspired him to say. And he's just honest. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." I'm like, Paul, that's exactly like me. There's things that I want to do that I know God likes, and I'm not doing those things. I did them at camp for that week. But I got home, and now the things that I hate doing, the things that maybe are even fun for a little bit, but after I'm done, because I'm a believer, I'm convicted again, and I hate myself for doing those things, that's the stuff I'm doing. Paul says, "Yeah, Seth, you are a loser." No. Look at verse 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that's my nature, dwelleth no good thing. I'm thinking, Paul, that's me. I don't know if I have good qualities. I'm frustrated with how bad I struggle, and I know you do too. Paul says, in me is no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I'm like, yeah, man, me and you, Paul, we want to do good for God because he loves us. We want to please him, but the way I'm living is not very pleasing. How about you? But I want it to be. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, now if I do, I would not, if no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I know what you're thinking. I'll never read out of a KJV. That made no sense. Here's what it means. Paul's identifying with us. I think you would identify with me, and that is, this is where I want to be. This is where I think will make God happy and pleased. And this is where I am. And I just can't do it. I mean, I try. I just can't get there. And Paul says it, and I agree, and I think you would too. Aren't we weak? We're weak. We're weak. So he says, I get it, guys. I'm right in there with you. And by the way, let me just throw this out there before we go on. This is not how God wants us to live. Because if we live this way, we'll do absolutely nothing for him. Because we won't have any confidence. Even adults. I'll ask adults in our church, hey, would you teach us? I'm not in a place to do that. What are they saying? I have this mark where I want to be, where God will love me and he'll be pleased and happy, and I'm down here. I can't do it. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I hear that all the time, and I do that too. You say, well, you're preaching. Well, I'm getting paid. Well, I thought I was. Chris is like, not, you're not really. Look at, you see, this back and forth, I'm doing good, I'm not, I'm doing good, I'm pleasing God, I'm not pleasing God, it just freezes you in fear. You won't do anything for him, and Satan knows that. Look at what else Paul says. He says, I'm weak, and I say, I am too. What about you? Yeah. Look at what he says in verse 21. He says, I find then a law. He says, there's something that's set in stone here, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now listen to what he says. He says that when I attempt to do good, evil is stronger. My temptations get worse. You know what's the worst time for a believer? When we get home from camp. Why? Because we're revived. We're alive. We're excited. We want to do right. We think we can do right. And when we get back from camp, it's horrible. As a believer, you know what I found out? That the things I dreamed about as a person that didn't follow Christ, all that gets to happen when I'm a believer, and I struggle with that. I think, why didn't this happen when I was lost before I knew Jesus? Then I could enjoy it. Now I'm convicted over this stuff. Whenever we try to do good, evil is there, and it heightens. So Paul says, and so do we, we're weak. Here's where I want to be. This is what I want to look like, but I'm here. And every time I try to crawl up there, evil, I mean, I'm tempted. Things happen. People make me mad. Something in my family gets destroyed. I have trouble with my parents. I have trouble at school. I have temptations with my girlfriend or boyfriend. I mean, all these things start to happen, and you know what inevitably happens? I realize I'll never get there. Everything's gone to pot, and so why am I even trying? And we get up, we give up, and we get discouraged. And Paul says, yeah, every time I try to do good, evil is present. Look what it says in verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm weak. This is where I want to be. This is where God will be happy. I can't get there. I'm frustrated. I'm sinning. Evil is heightened now that I'm trying to be better for Christ and live for Christ. And not only that, I'm in this war. I'm the what's the Jekyll and Hyde, you know? I'm this way. I'm in youth on Sunday, and I get encouraged. But when I get home, I'm back to this other side of me where I really struggle, and I do all these hard things, and I'm tempted, and I fall to those temptations. It's a war. And now listen to this. Every time we try to be a better person, here's the end result. Look at verse 24. Paul says, oh man, oh wretched man that I am. What does that mean? He says, I'm an unfaithful believer. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Man, I've asked that. Who's going to help me? This is where I want to be. God, I know this is where you want me to be, but how in the world am I going to get up there? I can't do it. The temptations are too strong. Every time I try, something bad happens. I'm discouraged, frustrated. I'm warring, but I'm losing. Who's going to help me? And that's what trying to be a better person, this is the place it should lead you. He says, who's going to help me? Verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us. Now, here's the good stuff. He's like, oh, you're not done? No, not yet. Here's the great news. Paul's describing, now this is, he's not saying, this is the way I live, and so if you live this way, we both live this way. No, he's saying, I've lived this way, and it's miserable, believer, and I don't want you to live this way. And we would say, I don't want to live this way either, Paul. What do I do? I don't want to go to camp and be revived and then not revived and then revived. And I want to be legit believer, too legit to quit. Y'all never heard that song. Y'all missed out on some good music. And he tells us the best verse. Here's the remedy to all of it, and then it'll make sense in just a second. Romans 8, verse 1. Now, this is for believers. He says, there is, therefore, now that you're a believer, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. What does that mean? Now catch this. Okay, this is the dramatic part of my sermon where I leave the pulpit. Is it working? Not really. What does no condemnation mean? Here's what it means. God is an excellent record keeper. Every bad thought you have, he writes it down. Every bad thought I have, he writes it down. Every bad thing you've ever done today, yesterday, tomorrow, your whole life, he writes it down. He's an excellent record keeper, and he writes all the good too. He's an excellent record keeper in there. And he's a just and he's an honest God. That means that when you stand before God and start crying and say, oh, I did, he's got to do what's right. He has to judge sin. Okay? So I want you to, we'll use Cooper as an example. All right? So when Cooper stands before God, God, because he's a just lawyer, imagine a lawyer, he's just, he's honest, he's pure. He says, here's Cooper Downer. Bring me his sins. And they have to go get a forklift. I mean, his stack of sins are huge. They bring all of Cooper's sins, everything he's ever done, everything he ever will do, and they put it in front of God, but there's a problem. Someone has messed with the evidence. The evidence is covered in Christ's blood. You ever spilt coffee on something? Loan me a book. I'll show you what it's like. Every book I borrow, I spill coffee on. Christ, when he died on the cross, the Bible tells us all of our sins, all the evidence against us that would send us to hell, is covered in his blood. And so God, he looks at it, he says, this page is covered in blood. All I see is the perfection and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This one's covered. They're all messed up, and because there's no evidence, you're right with me. You're justified. You're up here. No, no, no. I'm trying to get up. No, you're up here in Christ Jesus. There's no evidence, so I can't charge you. Because you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and that blood that he shed on Calvary, where do you think it went? It covered our sins. You say, okay, I like the sound of that because that means that no matter what we do, we can't lose God's love. And that's true. There's absolutely nothing you can do to lose God's love. Why? Because when he looks at the evidence, it's washed in Jesus' blood. Now, before you get too crazy, you're like, well, I'm going to go out and smoke pot. And it's covered in no condemnation. I like the sound of this priest. I like this church. There's penalties in this earth for our sins. We're in a sin curse. You will pay the price. But as far as God's concerned, you see, it's been dealt with by Jesus. Okay, so it goes like this. What's the point of all this? See, we spend our whole Christian lives, me included, trying to be a better person because at the end of the day, we want God to love us more. We want God to be pleased with us more. And because we can't make up the standard that we've created, we feel like he doesn't love us and he's not pleased and he'll never use us. And that just discourages us and leads us to more sin. But here's the good news. I do good because I can't lose his love. See, because he loves me so much and that's nailed down, then I know that when I mess up, I ask Christ to forgive me. He forgives me. I'm right with God. I pay the price for my sin on this planet because there is a price for it. And I start over. And God has never loved me any less, and he doesn't love me anymore. His love is reckless, we sang about. See, if God's love and no condemnation makes you want to go out and sin against a God that loves you that much, then you've misunderstood it. But if you understand it, you mean everything I've ever done, everyone, it's dealt with. And you'll forgive me every time I ask for forgiveness. Yes, I will. Seth, I love you so much I sent my son to die for you. I want to live for you. I was reading about Abraham Lincoln. Every time I come here, I talk about Abraham Lincoln. I don't know why. I don't know if this is true, but it fits this perfect. So regardless, Abraham, whether it's true or not, it's good. Abraham Lincoln, there was a slave girl being sold at a slave auction, and he bought her. And then he tells her this. He says, you're free. And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, you're free. I've bought your freedom. She goes, I can go anywhere I want to go. He goes, you can go anywhere you want to go. I can do anything I want to do. You can do anything you want to do. And she says, I want to go with you. Because anybody that would go to that great lengths to show his love for us, that he would send his only begotten son to die for us, that he would take care of our sins, I'll go with him. See, folks, and we're getting into old church now. Listen, you know what I'm saying? I hadn't been cool in years, you know. You know, just keeping it real. Okay, I'll stop. Forever, as a pastor, this is, in my mind, a place that I've created that if I could get there, then God would love me. And I never did get there. And I finally realized through reading this text that he said, Seth, I love you already. Already. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can mess up that's going to change that. Can you hurt me? Yeah. Can you frustrate me? Can you anger me? Yeah. But the love is nailed down. And when that clicked, it gave me the freedom to go about his work. I'm not up here because I'm perfect. I'm coming up here because I'm forgiven. And anybody that's done what he's done for me, I think I can get up here and brag on him for a little bit. We see the love of God motivates us to live for him. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5 and we'll be done. Wow, they said church is from 7 to 8:30. I was like, what are we going to do for an hour? Go with me to 1 John. I'm almost done, so just kind of look at this. This is the key. 1 John. And look at what it says in verse 5. Or 1 John chapter 5. And look at what it says in verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God. This is what God's love produces. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Why? How do you get to the place where God's commandments are not grievous? You understand there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and I can't lose his love, and you allow that to motivate you. Listen to this very carefully. If we got to the place where we thought God would use us, then you know what we'd struggle with? Pride. So in our minds, he never lets us get to the place where we've made up. He gets us to the place where we yell out like Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me?" And he says, "I already have delivered you. Go about my work. Love God and love people." So what's the application? Here's the application. Stop trying to be a better person for God to love you more or to be more pleased with you. If you're a believer, you've already got that. Go and honor and glorify him because you already have it. Now, here's some bad news. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, and that means you are under condemnation, and all that your sins that you have committed will be brought up, and you will, we'll look at this tomorrow. This is why we need revival, and tomorrow we'll find out how to achieve it. You'll never be able to be what you're supposed to. You'll never be able to be that. So here's the application. I think you're like me. You're like short and ugly? No. I think you're like me in this sense. I think some of you, are y'all awake? Have been trying to be better people so that you'll gain God's love and favor when you need to realize tonight, I already have it. I need to repent of my sins. I need to deal with the penalties of my sins, whatever I go through. And then I need to live for him because he loves me. And when you do that, it gives you a freedom. So here's what we're going to do. Let's all stand. And we're going to have a real short, I believe Braden's going to come, a real short invitation. If anything, believer, listen, if anything, come, or where you're at, thank God for his great love for us. And that I don't have to get to this certain place. Christ got there. All I have to do is live for him and enjoy his love for me. Let's have a short invitation.